This is episode 239. No, not that knob, that knob.
This one's really good, but right up until the end.
Yeah.
I genuinely think that.
Yeah, that's probably correct. This is the Tone Control. Welcome back.
We didn't go anywhere. Just yep. Welcome in general. It's been the normal amount of time.
Yep, correct.
It's been a Tone Control week.
Yes.
Which is 2 weeks, if you recall from last.
Two weeks. Yep.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
That's that.
On to the episode.
Sorry, I'm late. What'd I miss?
You missed the soundboard getting added to Discord, which I've just swiftly turned off for everyone else.
Instantly so, disabled.
Yeah.
I'm late. I haven't looked at the clock.
That's okay.
Well, right. Nobody knows. If we're watching this in post, you didn't even realize I was late if I hadn't said anything. I'll publish it
20 minutes late. How about that?
Yeah. Wife started her new semester today, and I did not adapt as fully as I thought I did to the new. Like, I was, anyway, down to the minute, but that's all right. Because what are we going to do on this show, right? We're just going to talk about our family lives for as long as it takes for the Tone Jerks to fall asleep and then.
Right.
Move on.
You're already off to the races with that. So, like, right. My sinuses feel weird today, if anyone's curious.
Oh, dude. I have that too, man. Oh, man. I had a cold last week. I think it's
spring has finally happened, but.
Oh, mine was definitely because of sick, but it's stupid. Stupid. You know, I don't feel bad about the, I guess, scathing, maybe good review that we got in the Tone Jerks After Dark podcast.
Yeah.
For the record.
I wouldn't call it scathing.
No. I found that to be, what was it, like 5.5 minutes of nonstop perfection. Yeah. It was, so anyway, great job to those guys.
Co-patron like of ours, Matthew Fenslaw, threw that together.
Oh, he created that?
I'm fairly certain, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
He said he made an appearance, and I think he just, like, whipped it up and sent it over because they had to miss a week. So,
oh, no wonder. Like, I was like, I've never heard them do
absolutely.
This before. I was, like, thrown, but I didn't
know.
Like, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely nailed it. Unlike every guitar podcast, every guitar, like, content outlet there is. He was like, oh, Dan over at that pedal show has a wet, dry, wet, wet, dry, wet, dry, dry, wet, wet rig that has achieved self-awareness. Yeah, and we got busted for speaking about our wholesome family lives for 25 minutes. So,
and then you don't know what happens after that in the show because you've fallen asleep.
Yeah, of all the things to get ragged on, I'll take that one.
Yeah.
You know?
It really, anyway, it was a ton of fun. And so he shares it in our Discord, and I'm like,
yeah,
we got called out, and oh shoot, I've got to check this. And I'm thinking it's the new episode.
It's like a normal episode.
So it's like I was like, I have to work, but I really want to be a part of the conversation. Can somebody clue me to where it is? And he's like, it's like a minute and a half
like,
and then I look at the thing, I'm like, oh, this is 5 minutes long. I'm such a dill for not even looking at it before I ask the question. So anyway. Well, great job to them. I thought that was...
Yeah.
To him slash them.
It was really good.
That's bloody great.
It was really good. I was on my way to bring Charlie to the vet just for like his annual.
Yeah.
And we were both laughing.
Outstanding.
He was like, bro, this is hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. Loved it.
What's going on in my wholesome family life?
Yeah.
Not much. Kind of the huge.
Yep. Saw some pictures of your kid going on a hike the other day.
Yeah.
He was cargo.
My parents got us one of those backpack, hike pack baby carriers.
Yeah.
Where they're up above you, kind of behind, or kind of above and behind right. you in this super heavy duty.
It's the Yoda
hiking
pack.
Backpack. Yeah, 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 and it's great, and he loves it. And we went to the lake that's near our house, and there's like some, to call it a hike is generous. Like I was wearing sneakers, and you just, you know, walk alongside the lake on some pine needle paths and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like completely just entranced by everything around us. So like, you know, I'd lean over now and then and he could like touch a leaf and lean the other way and he could touch a tree. In the live photo I took of him touching a tree, he's like feeling it. And then he like pulls his hand back and makes this face like, ew.
Nature. Ew.
Ew. But we stopped over to like, you know, look at the lake and he could like touch it, which mm-hmm. he's not supposed to do because it's a public watershed, but don't tell anybody. But he, you can fish in the lake, but you can't touch the water. It's a fucking joke.
Yeah. That's not a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So he was just like all about it and I didn't have to like wrangle him around or anything. I just needed to help him stand up and stuff. And cause he's like walking adjacent. He's like really close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, really close.
He's doing what people do at a roller skate rink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving with the aid of a wall or a friend. Yeah.
Right. He's got one of those like baby walkers that's...
Oh, awesome.
You know, you can, like, there's like a brake on the wheel so it doesn't slide out from in front of them. Mm-hmm. And he's grabbing it by himself and cruising around the house.
Oh, shoot. He's like, that's my vehicle. Yeah.
Yeah. And when he does it, like... You know, he's like laughing and stuff, but he's also, his excitement sound is just, ah. You just hear him coming, ah.
Oh, man.
That's great. So that's fun. That's what's happening here.
Bloody fantastic. What have I got? So let's see, 2 weeks. Both of the other members of my household actually did ear piercings. So, and Marielle wanted to do some, another ear hole, as they say. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what they say. Yes. Anyway, she wanted to do it. And she like kept trying to interest Aria in doing it. She's like, you know, you should do this and then you can wear earrings. She was like, not interested, but she thought, well, maybe. Mm. Actually, I think this was my mom's idea. What if you go and Aria goes with you and you don't even, and she just watches you. Maybe she'll gain interest. And I'm thinking,
that's a good move.
No fucking way. I mean, it's a fine move, but I'm thinking no fucking way is my kid going to do that. That's not, she hates pain so much, but
is it like the idea of pain is just exactly. like so terrifying?
And like, that,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's just absolutely. And like we're working on that sort of thing. But anyway, so she goes, Marielle gets it done and Aria's with her and they are like driving home and Aria, and they call me and Aria is signed up for 2 days later.
Oh,
and she says, oh, shit. In fact, okay. she would have done it today if I'd had her birth certificate. Cause you have to have that for a minor.
Okay.
With a parent. So she goes, that was Wednesday. She goes on Friday. Is pretty proudly talking about it, like in the lead up. And she says, like, it's gonna hurt a little bit, but I want the result. And she's saying all these very grown up things to me about how, like, but I want the benefit I get from it. So I'm gonna be, you know, she's talking just like that. And I'm like, you little scamp. Exactly. And
yeah.
Derek's gesturing to, for the audio listeners, Derek's gesturing to his new tattoo.
Yeah, I'm pointing at my tattoo.
Yeah. So she does have a bit of a meltdown in the moment. Like we get there and when it's like, she's got her ear cleaned, she's got the dot placed. It's like, okay, that's when she has him.
There's only one more step.
But we take him through. And actually the piercer said that like a lot of kids walk out of there with one done. Like they do one and they freak and they come back later to do the other one. And I know our kid and we're like, this is the opposite. We will be training her anxiety to make it even worse the next time. Like, I'm not going to make you do this, but I'm going to talk to you as long as I can and try to, you know what I mean? And so we talked to her for a while and she sucked it up. And I mean, she was crying and she was upset, but she was like, I want to do it. And then she almost tried to walk out halfway through and then she went and she did the second one. So she got that shit done and she is super proud And
good.
And we're out of the woods too. Like, you know, we're washing them and everything, and it's not really, she's not really wincing anymore. But she was, other than that little like kind of moment at the beginning, once she talked herself through it, she was a real champ after that. And she's pretty proud of herself, and I'm proud of her too. So damn right.
Damn right. That's like such a rite of passage thing.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, like, so there's this a daycare drop off in the morning. I was there. This was a month or two ago. I'm in there dropping off Jack, and there's some mom with a baby in a car seat still, like walking in with the car seat age, so younger than Jack. And I overhear her talking to the staff at the daycare. Oh, notice anything different? And this baby, this infant has her ears pierced.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I'm just going to say it. Like, I don't think that's great. You know, just...
Yeah,
I don't feel like I need to explain why, but also. Just,
well, no, I think that's worth talking. I don't think you need to like brush over that because, like, obviously, I've had that conversation now a few had the opportunity over the past like week and a half or whatever it's been. It's for one thing, sometimes it's cultural. Like a few of Aria's friends that are like their heritage is from India, like they had it from like week one.
Really, you know what I mean? Different thing.
Yeah,
though.
Exactly, like, exactly. But
acceptable in that scenario. So
yeah,
this was just we went to the mall and look what we did with our baby kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. And the thought is, well, they're not going to remember it. So it's not going to traumatize them kind of thing, which is technically correct because like there is, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen to kids that they do kind of, and they're not going to remember it. It's really, it's going to sort of bother them for a second, but they actually don't have, you know what what infants don't have? They don't have the buildup and understanding of this is about to happen to me. So actually they have a less bad time of it than Aria did in a sense. But so what I think about that though is like, obviously we didn't want to do that. We wanted her to, it's like, it is always your choice. And like, we kept saying to her, like, if you walk out of here, it is
your
choice.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
I am not going to make you. But I really think you should for all of these reasons, and I want to help you through your fear. But that's the detail. So for me, it's like
That's the thing that's important to me, though.
Yeah, well, I felt like – so if I did that, if I did it when she was young, I feel like I would be denying her this experience that I'm now proud of her, right? So she made a choice to have the experience of being afraid of something and deciding to do it anyway because she wanted the result. So – and that's a –
major opportunity for like – right. Major opportunity for personal growth.
Yeah.
And just that, you know, you can use that as an example now too. Remember when you got your ears pierced?
Right.
And how much you liked it now? Mm-hmm. So there's that. But I also think there is this sort of, you know, when you are age appropriate. I remember this with my sister. Mm-hmm. It was like, it's this whole, you turn over a new page of like, I'm going to get my ears pierced today. And it's like this big thing, right?
Because you know, it can make you feel personally differently about yourself.
Yeah.
You know, having made that choice and having done a thing. So it's not,
club.
That is another page of the same thing, right? Of a formative.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like all that.
And just this whole, I remember my sister did it because it was like a little bit, not school peer pressure, but it was that whole thing of, I'm seeing it at school and I kind of like how it looks on other people. And like, should I do this? And that sort of decision-making and processing probably around the same age now that I think about it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm sure there's a little bit of a check it out. Look what I did factor that Aria is probably really digging. And
right.
feeling like you're part of the club. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
So has it been, let's see, what are we up to? Only about
13 minutes.
13 minutes. So that's... Yeah. They probably not asleep yet.
Shit.
Anything else you want to tag?
Happy belated birthday.
Oh, that's right. This seems like a joke. I sincerely did forget about that. Okay, so 4 days ago, as we record this, I turned 40. So anyway, that happened. So wife took.
Moving on.
I don't know. It's one of my friends asked me today, like, did you have your, have you had any, like a Discord friend in another server? Have you had any, Have you had any moments where your body like pointed out to you that you're 40 yet? Because I did, you know, and he was like, I remember when I turned and it was like 3 weeks later. And I was like, I know what you're saying. I'm kind of prophylactically, like I'm getting ahead of it personally. Like I thought about that about 6 months ago. And not that I was in like terrible shape, but I was also heavier than I've been, like, and you know what I mean? I've had a few cycles in my life where I've been like, noticed like, oh shoot. But yeah, you know, I thought about it about 6 months ago. I was like, I'm going to turn 40 pretty soon. And so since then I've turned up the heat a little bit and actually about 15 pounds lighter since last winter and feeling real good. So 40, yeah, not so bad right now. Hey, you know. Just because it doesn't, you know, whatever. We have 10 fingers, so I guess the zero at the end of that makes a big difference. But the point is, you know what? I plan to last a little while. Oh, man. So.
That reminds me of, I saw some, like, Instagram video of how different cultures across the world count on their hands.
Oh, yeah, and yeah. I know what you're getting into.
Did you come across that?
No, go for it.
So, like, there's, like, the European method of, like, starting on the thumb and, like, right. 1, 2, 3 is, like, a thumb and two fingers versus the American way. You know, your first three fingers. But then there's I forget which group of people, but they count the spaces between their fingers as the digit. So
I can't remember which culture it is
as the numeral. So there's a hand of five fingers means four. And then there's another one that uses the individual bones in each finger and is base 12. This culture is base 12 instead of base 10.
Wow.
Yeah. And so then they use their other hand. So meaning, so you count up your fingers, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, up in orders of three. Yeah. And you use your other hand to count how many times you've reached to 12.
So and you just do the quick math on that. They have a decimal system built in. They have a base 12 decimal. Well, it's decimal. I don't know. How would you say that? It's not decimal because it's not 10.
Oh, yeah. Good question.
Do-decimal?
Yeah, I thought that was super interesting.
Do-decimal system? Or is that 20? Is dodeca 20?
That's dodeca.
Oh, who cares? Dodecahedron. I'm using like Roman words to describe this thing that's clearly not that culture. Anyway, that's
hilarious.
Thought
that was super cool. It just reminded me.
Yeah, and that's for... Anyway. Oh, man, I'm about to... Oh boy, I'm about to make another thing that somebody could pick on me about. But that's the sort of shit that will get you thinking about how much language affects how our brains develop. And like those people think differently in ways that I can't imagine because my brain is based on my language that I learned and my number system that I learned. So I just started at the bottom finger and went up.
So
which one's that?
Cultures in the Middle East go on the starting on the pinky finger because their language goes right to left.
Oh, but I start
on your left hand, you know.
So when I do it, now we're talking about this, everybody. Deal with it. So I'm going to tie it in. When I count guitars, I actually start, if I'm holding one hand up, I'm going to count one with my pointer finger, right? And then two is my middle finger.
Two with your pinky, and then we're just rocking and rolling.
Oh, that's it. So we need a new system. So the tone control guitar counting system is index finger, pointer finger, pinky, and then that's it. Yeah. You're done. It's actually base two. And on your other hand, it's perfectly okay to count how many times you've been through it. But again, you have two digits because you need to make the horns.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you can go like pinky to pinky or like
pinky
super
to pinky.
Horn, you know?
So this is what would this represent though? Is this an order of magnitude? So this is
like 200 guitars.
Right? This is two times two. It's actually two. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
200 guitars, but you just inserted base 10 into that.
Oh, well, damn it.
Because here's the trouble. But with base two, you can't even say like it's an exponent because then it's still just four. We're just we're in a dangerous place.
Anyway.
This is some awful stuff.
We've stumbled into. Awful podcasting.
Terrible. Okay.
Anyway,
I'm going to play some random sound. I'm going to play the one that's in, because I count from, because I read left to right, I'm going to play the one that is in the leftmost spot. Here we go. All right.
Nice.
All right. What order are we texting?
I'm texting Beth about a quick thing here.
Yep.
I heard a weird sound. Anyway, I think I want to do the second bullet first real quick because I was driving around, as you do, and I was kind of thinking about, I was listening to our chat last episode about the moments in guitar stuff that have kind of shaken you and made you wonder if you should quit or if you're going to quit. And I thought of an analogy for myself anyway about cover bands that has made me, it has reframed my thinking of it, and I'm excited, it makes me excited about it. So I think cover bands are like cooking, okay?
Okay.
Because the song is the recipe, right? But and I can, I cook recipes at home, but I don't make new recipes. I'm not a chef, you know what I mean? So I'm here getting really, really skilled in a certain type of recipe. And that is, you know, each song or each dish, however you want to think of it.
Subtle variations.
That's really it. Subtle variations. You can make little things, like you can add a little dash of this and make it your own, give it a little twist, but it's still going to be at its core that song or that recipe, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So I've done both things as far as music goes and writing music and covering music. So I think like I have a lot of fun in the kitchen, you know, doing recipes that I don't write because like who's got time for that? And
wait, are you talking about food now or music?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I like that actually because like also I enjoy cooking. I kind of put a lot into it sometimes of the time. But I can think of times when I did make something up, when I was cooking and was like, I am going to make something up. It's going to be like this recipe that I thought of. And I don't know about you, for me, whenever I've been writing songs, there's always sort of some kind of, it's not like it sounds exactly like this other song, but there's some kind of feeling or thing about a song or maybe a couple of different songs that I'm merging or something. There's something that's what the influence is, right? That like it was in my head. And when I was writing this song, I can think of like a song I wrote where I was thinking about the way a particular Foo Fighters song is or the way it makes it hits me. Now, the song didn't come out anything at all like that. And then like later I told the band like, well, I was thinking about this song when I wrote that. And it's like fucking not like it at all.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, but imagine like, but that was because I started from this point. And then by the end of 10 minutes, all I had was a chorus riff. And then a bunch of other stuff happened after that. And it totally diverged.
Yeah.
You know, but likewise.
What's the thing one idea inspires another and so on.
Yeah. But to like the cooking thing, right? Like I've done some recipes where we tried them and it worked okay. And you continue to work on it. You get it better and better, closer to the actual recipe. Or you find the thing about it that you think, you know what, actually this didn't come out. I think I would like it a little better if I changed this about it. And then that's the direction you go. Oh, we take out this ingredient, we sub this, or we do this a little differently, and we come up with something that is your version of it. So that's, again, that, you know, it's like, here's our cover song, but we're actually taking out, I don't like this bridge, and, you know, if we're doing it for fun, I don't like this bridge, I'm going to change it to be more like this or something, and it's, you're doing it at home, and so it's for fun, right?
And I think you can look at that at any scale where it's like, yeah, we're playing the songs pretty true to form.
Yeah.
But, and, you know, we're not rearranging music or anything like that. But there's just little stuff you can add in, little spices you can add in here or there, to extend this further. But I don't know. It was just like a fun realization.
Yeah.
For myself. Because, you know, it's like, here's my lasagna. It's not like your lasagna. You know, but it was what makes mine mine. And like, yeah, we can both make lasagna.
Yeah.
But I'm really focusing on this part of it and, you know, just because I think it's fun or whatever it is. So,
here's
my thing.
Here's one. No, I'm still on this. I think this is really cool. Here's one.
Yeah.
So I encountered, this wasn't even a recipe. This is something I saw somebody else cooking like this. But it was basically like so I'm starting the meat in a fry pan, but I have a pan that can go in the oven, right? So I have an oven safe pan. So I start it there, but then I have the oven ready. And once it gets to a certain point, I switch to the oven. And there are some other pieces to the recipe, like some side dishes and stuff. And everything kind of comes together really well because the timing's better, the meat comes out better and stuff. And so I noticed that. And I'm thinking in my head, like, I could add that to like this other recipe that I've been doing kind of on my own. And that's like, I'm thinking about that. Like I hear a song and it's like, oh, this is like the Foo Fighters thing I'm talking about. Like I hear a song and I think, oh, like I could do something like that. But then I turn it into my, like I used whatever, that little piece of inspiration to affect the song that I was working on kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like cooking and all of, you know, the, and guitar stuff, music stuff, technique is a major factor. And so you can borrow techniques from one thing and apply them to another, whether it be actual, you know, technical skill and prowess, I guess, or it could just be like, I'm going to do this little run because it sounds great and it's fun. And I think it's a great add to the song.
Right. Technical skill, or just choosing or just having the ability to say like, oh, that would actually, this kind of thing would actually fit there. Now that I've seen it, I can kind of emulate that and realize that my song could do with a thing kind of like that in that spot. Yeah.
And in the, and I think you're, are you kind of speaking of it more like in the angle of writing music?
I guess I am because like I saw that thing and then I started changing the way I cook some things that I've done for a long time. Like I took that in my head. Oh yeah. If I do that, actually this, in fact, it solved a problem for, as far as cooking is concerned, it solved a problem for me. I keep overcooking the meat or something in this one recipe. And I keep being like, damn it, how do I get this right? Well, that was my solution. And it's worked. I've like changed like two or three things because of that technique I observed. And it's like, oh, now I'm going to add that to my arsenal, right? My repertoire or something.
And I think that that technique thing could also be, it's not just your skill on the instrument. It can also be like the technique with which you learn music, right? That you are learning the parts for these songs or the your practice routines and techniques and stuff like that. So I just think it's a very broad and very deep analogy that can be applied in a million different ways. Because I don't know. I was just like, oh, wait a second. Like, I'm cooking this thing later tonight, but I know I'm already not going to follow the recipe that I started with all these years ago. I'm going to use it as a baseline for measurements and things and then and then change it. Like, I think about this, like, I have recipes from my mom when I first started cooking and moved out and needed something to cook. And we were there, and she made this recipe that I also have. And our two versions are very different now.
Because they diverge, the timelines diverge.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, it turns out I like this with a little extra garlic. And I like this with a little chili flake and stuff. And I just never noticed. No, I have noticed. But having them side by side is such a fun thing.
Well, the
but
same thing.
I think you can do that. You can have that approach with covers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I did, a lot of years ago, we did... Marielle and I played this, made a recording of this Dan Fogelberg song that was what it was for one of my parents' anniversaries because they played it together at their wedding. And I thought, oh, this is cool. And I kind of grew up with them around them playing it. I played lots of songs, but this particular one, it was like, so, but our version is super different. And their version, like if he was to play it right now, and then if you turned around and go listen to the record, his has diverged in time, and then I learned it from him, and mine diverged from time, you know? And so it's always like that. You go back, you learn a song, and then go back a year later and listen to the thing you learned it from. You've already changed it. And it's interesting to see in what way, because you forget.
And I've learned some songs for the cover band that the way to play it correctly just doesn't jive for me, right? It uses a guitar technique that maybe I'm not that great at, or I just feel like, yeah, technically that note is there, but the economy of playing is weird, you know? So I might play it in a different way that just works for my brain. And then when you remap the fretboard for that to make that happen, it opens up like, well, now I'm over here and I can do this other thing now. And it's
a domino effect, you know what I mean? of things that slightly change. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So get cooking.
Fucking guys. Love it. Get cooking. Solid.
Get cooking.
All right. Now I'm going to start from the other side. What is this? Oh, let's do this one. It's a long one.
Buckle up.
All right.
Yeah, it's the 3-muff 14 and that weirdo Ibanez delay. Dude, I have not really played much guitar, and I don't know. My gear's all still packed up from practice last week. I'm missing like guitars on the wall back here, and I'm just like, I'm feeling it. So, good way to segue into a continuation of last week, I guess, with guitar philosophy stuff or music philosophy stuff. Did you do your homework?
No. Did I do my homework? I did not.
I didn't really, other than kind of continuing to think about my stuff with it just in general. I feel like I maintain this for the podcast and for the server a little bit too.
Wait, yeah. Well, there's that factor. Were we going to have like a thread going in Discord and people? Because I thought we were going to come back with a bunch of stuff from other people. I thought that's what you meant by did I do my homework? Like, here's the music philosophy thread that I'm going to look at right now.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up
too. I thought you meant did I read through it? Because I'm definitely just going to
do it
right
now. No, go ahead. I think that's totally fine. I mentioned in the server that it's not just what music or guitar means to you, because obviously it means a lot to everybody in this community. That's why we're here. It's why we do this show and all that stuff. But why do you do it? What's your philosophical perspective on it? And we started a thread and people chimed in, and I'm here for it.
Absolutely. Okay. So, yeah, it probably wouldn't be that great podcasting event. Just read all this, but.
I talked to Eric about it, and I said, like, oh, you know, coming on the show and stuff, his work schedule changed, so he can't come in. Because as we've talked about this before, he's one of the only folks, or if not the only, maybe, in our community that's a full-time guitarist, like, for his job. It's teaching, it's gigs, it's theater stuff, it's all that. Yeah. So he says it's not really a single philosophy, because it's gone from something that I do into something that I am, which I think is a really great state of mind. Mm-hmm. Or to realize that is a good state of mind. So his thing about like whether or not it's creative is kind of different.
Right.
You know, circle back to the cooking analogy. Is songwriting the only outlet for creativity?
No, he's cooking for other people.
Yeah, he's an executive chef.
Right. He's a very important chef.
Yeah, he says, you know, I strive to be the best side guy you'll ever hire. Strong focus on the word hire.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not just a different thing.
Right. And I mean, that's something that you know, a person could struggle with a little bit too. And I think, you know, leads you down this, you could be afraid, let me say it like this, you could be afraid of it becoming a thing, sort of like what I was saying before about myself, like it almost feels like work, you know, and I go back and forth on that. It's not like this blanket statement, but there are definitely times where it's just like, oh, like I just don't, like I've compartmentalized that, and that feels like I'm opening up the other compartment, at least right now. Mm-hmm. So like saying, you know, emphasis on hire, you know, that's an important thing. It's an important thing to say, like when that's going to be your livelihood, to, what is it? It's personal position. It's like positioning your mindset, in such a way that you're actually helping other people have the right mindset about you. Like, right. So it's like, it becomes an important thing because there's someone else involved, and I want them to think of me, and Eric wants people to think of him as this is my job. And so even though large portions of it are fun and I am helping people with their fun, right? Like if I'm helping people record their music, hopefully that is super fun to them. And like, that's an important part of the process. Mm. If I'm doing it right, it ought to be fun, you know, but it is still at the same time, it's a job for me. So I still have, there's these layers of keeping the other people in that frame of mind because I'm keeping myself in that frame of mind too. So, and that comes, you know.
And with a job, with it being a job, there's the other part of the iceberg that they don't see, which is all of your business admin stuff like we talked about before.
Yeah.
All of your planning and scheduling around that before they just show up or before Eric shows up to a gig. He's not going in cold, you know, there's work.
Right. Right.
So this before I forget this, I don't want to lose it. I have like a very early thing of the week pick. Ryan Tedder, songwriter extraordinaire and frontman of One Republic, was recently on the podcast The Great Creators, which is hosted by Guy Raz, who does another show called How I Built This. I've talked about that show before. Yeah. Anyway, The Great Creators is a podcast about creativity and just how these well-known creative types manage their creativity, what it is to them, and sort of this philosophical conversation. So Ryan Tedder's episode touches on a lot of that stuff. Like, what is his job as the songwriter, as the producer, as the performer, and as the, you know, what is One Republic? Is it a creative outlet? Is it a project? Is it a... So anyway, I don't want to spoil it or anything, but if you're interested in this kind of thing, absolutely go listen to that interview because it's great. It is so, so good. And yeah, I feel like it dovetails with this really well.
That sounds like I would love that. Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking, continuing on that thread, I compartmentalize that too. Like in the sense that I try to make sure the stuff that is work, the stuff that is like business talk or things like that is ironed out in a separate conversation because I feel like that those can interfere with each other. Like, for example, if you don't talk about the fact that this is hiring and there's money involved and stuff, if you don't get that sorted out at the beginning, then you have to bring it up later, which means you're interrupting the part that's supposed to be fun and often awkwardly so, right? So, you know, it's so that becomes very, very separate. It's not that I'm not doing both in the same day, but it's like, okay, here's the outline right at the beginning. And we're talking about money right away, like right from the first sentence, because that takes away the awkwardness and it's that frame of mind puts them, it explains to them, like, I am taking this seriously. It's a display of like, here's what's going to happen. Yes. It's friendly, but here's what's going to happen. And I say right away, like, I am settling this so that we don't have to worry about it anymore. And then it's like, and I'm sitting in that sentence, I'm saying to them,
now that part's easy. Yeah.
Right. And now we're doing this. Now we're doing the fun part.
Yeah. And now you're like, okay, I'm going to put this in a drawer and then we're going to get.
And I didn't personally talk to Eric if he does that exactly the same way. But like, I just can't imagine doing it a different way. I imagine he would have mostly agreed with me. So I'm just going to decide to speak for him.
Probably. Yeah. Continuing through, Jamie mentioned that music being a huge part of his life since he was young. Guitar and singing helped me connect to something that I can't get anywhere else. And I asked him to extrapolate on that a little bit because I feel the same way, right? That like what I get out of it is something that I have not found elsewhere and is something that is, for me, an addictive thing. And I just like want to feel that. I feel better after I've had practice. I feel better after I've had a show or whatever it is. It's, you know, he says, I love my family, love comic books, movies, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But playing music, listening to music is just something that you don't get anywhere else. It's, you know, he says, it feels connected to my soul, assuming I have one. And I think I've kind of mentioned on the show, like the guitar and music for me can operate as a massive air quotes on this, like higher power thinking type of thing as like it's always there for me, right? It is always, I get out of it what I put into it. It is there when I have a great day. It's there when I have a bad day. Yeah. And it is a stability that I see reflected that some people get from things like organized religion. That's not for me. That's fine, whatever. But it operates for me mentally as like this is the only term that came to mind, spiritual guide of like, it's like a North Star for me, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little, that's a pretty crunchy way to put it, I realize.
Sure. But. Well, so it's a thing that there, okay. So the idea of feeling normalcy, right? So everybody's going to need a way for them to feel like they're in their normal zone. And so here's where it is. It's like, it is a dependable centering thing. Like if you're upset, even if you're going to angry play guitar or music or whatever, right? It's commiserating with you, right? In that way. It is this way of commiserating with yourself, I guess, or the music is commiserating with you. And if you're happy, that's the way it goes. It's there's like a I'm thinking of like a counseling and therapeutic techniques and stuff like that. The idea that if you're grieving, sometimes like somebody would say like they try to cheer you up, and that's often not what people need in those cases. They actually need a good cry or something. And so it's like, actually, let's make a sad playlist where let's have the music just help us be sad, because it's unrepressing that. So even if you're in a bad mood, the music can be bad in a bad mood with you. And then it's still a release when you're done with it.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's validating in a way, like in the grief model that you're mentioning. You know, it's like, whether it's like, say something, you know, like a loss of somebody, terrible, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's going to be like, well, I hope you cheer up, or maybe you should try feeling better. Like, well, first of all, fuck you. Second of all, let me feel my feelings, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. It's just that I have a lot of strong opinions about that stuff. That's a different conversation. But I think, I don't know. I mentioned in this thread, when I was studying darkroom photography in college, I had this sort of, I found it very interesting that when you take the photo, the way a single lens reflex camera works is that the mirror that you're looking at through the lens through lifts out of the way of the shutter, and the shutter opens and exposes the frame, closes, flips the shutter back down. That is the single lens reflex action.
Yeah.
And the same is true for digital SLRs. So in the moment the photo is taken, you don't see anything. And it could be a fraction of a second. It is a fraction of a second, you know, a 60th.
Unless you're doing something wild. A 2,000th
of a second. Right. It could be really long. Yeah. But the viewfinder is blocked for that time. And I find it just really cool that the only way you get to see that 60th of a second is to then go develop your photo. Right. Mm-hmm. In that brief, super mega brief moment, you were blind. And you're just like, it's in the camera though, you know? And so I think there's a thing about this, sort of a parallel with music. I know it's a major stretch, but when you're doing it, you can't pause it and look at it and like move it around and stuff. You have to be doing it. Does that make sense? Like, do you see the kind of relationship I'm making with that?
I do. And I think, like, obviously there's like tendrils of this that are going to go out into making recordings, you know, making photography, or so this baser idea of, we've all played in bands, the point in the band where, if it's an original band especially, but maybe not exclusively, you've been playing things together for a while, but nobody else has heard it yet. And you actually need, somebody else has to hear this. And sometimes, and a lot of times it's been me, it's been us, but we had to make a recording of it. Like somebody had to put their record.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think like back to when I was in a band, we wouldn't have used a phone because I don't think phones were that event. No, I'm not that old. Okay. No. Anyway, but you'd make a recording.
Yeah, or you would have pulled out a laptop, right?
Whatever. It doesn't have to be about that joke that I made. But anyway, you make a, but if you just make a recording, even because you're playing it, you can't fully hear it and play it at the same time.
Right.
So that's a little bit connected to that too, you know, and that's what's going to happen.
And like your focus on, the whole thing is different as well. You're listening to yourself more so.
I think that's basically why. But there's probably some segmentation of your brain too that you literally can't. I mean, this is like the idea of multitasking. Yeah. Like nobody can. You just, it's about how fast you can switch and how you're annoying just good at switching. Yeah. is for you as a person. That's your aptitude for multitasking. Yeah. So you're multitasking if you're trying to listen and play to a certain extent. Now it's like as a musician, you're playing with other people at the time, then there's some connectedness of we're feeling the rhythm, we're all together, but you just can't hear what it actually sounds like when you're not playing. It's a different thing. So so that's going to happen differently for somebody who's just playing at home as a hobby or something like that. And now I know Jamie does that, record himself too.
You just nailed it though, because like that's the thing that I was missing, was that connectedness when I'm not in bands and stuff and I'm just playing at home. And I was saying that like this is becoming frustrating because I feel no motion. I feel no forward movement with myself and guitar and stuff. It's because those other things are missing. I was just at practice last week, played a song, I blew it. Like I was just, I messed up one little thing and then you know how it throws you off and you just like can't get your space back. And we finished the song and I was like, yikes, like I'm going to need to run that again. Sorry guys. And they were like, what are you talking about? That was great. Are you serious? Are we listening to the same mix? Are we listening to the same track? Yeah, you fool.
Does this band suck? What if?
Oh my God, do we suck?
Oh my God, all of you are morons and I didn't know. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. I think there's no wrong way to look at this stuff. There's no permanent way to look at it either. I think well, another part of my like musical philosophy is heavy on not gatekeeping, because gatekeeping is fucking garbage and it's a slippery slope. You can do it without realizing you're doing it, which I think happens a lot.
Yeah.
You can also do it intentionally, and that's even worse. But don't gatekeep yourself. Like, don't gatekeep your own stance on philosophy of music and stuff. Let it change. Let it expand and contract and stuff. And, like, just that's what these do. It's okay.
Mm-hmm. I've just gotten to the part in this thread where Matt, who's here, I think. Anyway, Mako Guitars Matt, talking about playing on stage, so, you know, when I used to play on stage, and I'm paraphrasing, but like the idea of something bigger kind of around you and being connected to that sort of thing. Hopefully I'm paraphrasing pretty well, but like, and specifically this phrase about, you know, stretches out beyond your immediate surroundings. So he's like, he's having like a connectedness to the universe experience. And again, like this is sort of a religious spiritual thing, but he's like, I'm not a spiritual person. I'm just like, but he has this experience, which I think is so fun because like most anybody I think can have that experience. And it's about finding like what's sort of going to cause it for you. There's circuit. I mean, neurologically, there are circuits in your brain and a neurologist could stimulate them and cause you to have that feeling. Like there are things we know how to do, or they know how to do a way, something where they block a piece. And there's all this stuff that the thing that makes you feel like you're part of your body, like that can be blocked if by medication or something. And you will literally not feel like you'll look at your arm and be like, well, that's not my arm. You know what I mean? Like that's a specific circuit. It's like a part of your brain. And likewise, there's a part of your brain that makes you, you know, it can have sort of a, I don't know, call it a spasm or something, but it can have this reaction and feel like you're connected to things. I can remember, like when I was a kid, I would sleepwalk, and that's a sign of a few other things that become sort of likely. And usually most people that have that when they're a kid, they kind of grow out of a little bit, but, I can still sort of do it a little bit. And it's when I'm on the edge of sleep kind of thing, but I can have this experience where I feel like myself fills the whole room. Like I feel like I can see from the ceiling kind of thing, even though obviously I'm not. Okay. I'm laying in bed or something. And I'm thinking about in that way, like it's this feeling of like you almost feel like your being becomes bigger. And, you know, playing music, especially you're talking about playing music on stage when that's an exciting thing for you and stuff like that, that's could easily have that kind of
reaction.
And
there's the spectacle of performance as well. There's like the, it is so much bigger than the sum of its parts. It's the loudness, the sheer volume of it, the, you know, tons of other people there that you're, what you're doing is influencing them in a way that is personal to them. And
you're
that's
visibly
a weird feeling,
connected
a good
to them
feeling.
Through that.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you call that, like, I know that feeling you're talking about. Yeah. I had it once while driving, actually, and it was a little odd. Oh. But that's like what people call an out-of-body experience, kind of, right? Like, it must be.
I think so, yeah. And I'm not like the medical expert that should do this off the top of my head. But yeah, there's something to do with why I think the reason it has to do with like when you're falling asleep or when many people are falling asleep is because that's when certain circuits of your brain are switching into different modes, right? Like your body, your muscles are becoming paralytic because you need to sleep. They're turning off. But there can be this time where those things happen gradually enough or in just the wrong order or something, and you can be awake, but you're still paralyzed. And usually when those two things happen at the same time, it also triggers this other thing where, and for a lot of people, it's a fear response where you feel like there's a presence in the room with you, which is
the sleep paralysis demon.
Right. Entirely invented within your mind, but it doesn't, you know, but it's real. Like in the same way, like, you know, you don't see the world, you see your mind's reconstruction of the world all the time. I mean, that's when you're totally conscious, that's exactly what you're doing. You're seeing your brain's best guess based on all of its input. So that's never not true.
Yeah, I see red and you see red. Do we see the same red, Justice?
Exactly. And what difference would it make if we didn't? Yep. All right.
We could keep going on about this, but I think we should. I don't know. I mean, let's see. Samuel's talking about being.
Oh no! Sorry, we were gonna. We each tag two different people, but yeah.
I was gonna say Samuel started talking about being raised in a church and like the feeling of he's a bassist as well, and he's saying the feeling of the bass player during music parts. And then working in the sound booth was basically the only part he liked about the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I lost the thing. Hang on. I just closed the thread by accident.
Close the thread. I'm quickly...
Mike coming in. My philosophy is that life is hard, so do the things you enjoy. Fucking amen.
I mean, he hit it nailed very it. Simply, he didn't he? It. But...
Yep.
And that, you know, likewise, if it turns out you don't enjoy it as much as you thought you did, don't feel bad about dropping that hammer. But I like that too. I like all this.
Yeah. That's what I mean about don't gatekeep yourself. Like, you know, just do it because you enjoy it. There doesn't need to be a better reason. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Although if you suck at playing music, you should really just fuck off. Don't subject me to that. No,
next segment.
I'm just kidding, but if you've played music long enough, I'm sure you've experienced the thing where somebody is not good at it and doesn't realize it. And the trick is, as long as the hard part about music can be realizing that about yourself, and that makes it okay. There are some people I think. I don't know. I've met people who I think like don't have a sense of pitch. And on the one hand, like I've thought to myself, like, how do you not hear that? Like it's unbelievable to me. But at the same time, if they didn't, how would they know they didn't? So of course they don't.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like colorblindness. Like
until somebody points it out to you.
Right.
How would you ever know?
I guess, but it's depending on if somebody does point it out to you and you still can't hear it. That's the colorblindness angle. Oh, I mean, it's points out to my dad's colorblind, so it's like been a part of my life forever. So if I say like, no, Dad, that's brown, he's not going to be like, oh, of course.
Right. Oh,
so,
my God. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think,
I was going to say, I don't want to end this segment on me making a joke ragging on people who aren't good at music. Like, I'm not a very good musician, but I think, please.
We've all encountered people who are like, maybe they don't walk the walk or whatever, but they, you talk to them, and I think it's just a matter of like being respectful and being encouraging.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, so many people who aren't good get blown off, and
yeah,
it's not. I don't think it's about being good. That when you achieve a certain skill, I don't even know. It's not quantifiable, but like you. It's so easy to just blow it off and to gatekeep and just don't. Like, I think that's why we started the podcast, and that's why we started the server too, was the excitement around this stuff and the wanting to share and spread knowledge and like bring it all together. And I don't know. There was a time early in the server days, there was somebody who hopped in. It was like semi-active, and I don't know who this person is. I don't recognize the name anywhere. And they asked like, hey, do you guys think guitar pedals affect your tone that much? And I was so floored by the question because in not trying to gatekeep, I lost that they were pulling a joke on me. You know what I mean?
Oh, and so, okay. So you were so interested.
It turns out
interested.
It was that they were doing a bit.
It was a poe, yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean by that? Right? Like, explain your thought process. This is an XY. Yeah, this is an XY problem, right? This is a, I'm asking about X, but I actually need to know why.
Yeah.
And so I missed that, and it was like, oh, dang. You know, it's such a weird moment of, I'll answer your question. I will answer it to the end of the earth, but only if you're serious.
Hold on there. You know, wow.
Yeah. Let's get into the term transparent.
They affect your tone to that much. Wow. Oh, my God. I'm really, I'm in my own head now because of that.
Yeah, and I'm thinking like, well, I don't know this person. Are they a beginner? Or do they not play with pedals? Do they not know what they do?
Right. So you're thinking there's the wrong thing to say is out there that could not only less important thing, make them think I'm a jerk, but the more important thing, what if this changes whether they keep going with messing with guitar and pedals and stuff like that. What if you're the person who could say the right thing and they would go down a path and find something they really enjoy, or you say the wrong thing and they're like, well, fuck this, I'm going to be a chef instead. Well, then I guess we'd have an okay chef joining the world. But isn't that funny?
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah, I think, because I don't want to be that one that's like, this guy thinks all guitar players are idiots or jerks or something, you know, or it's such a standoffish community and stuff, which it totally can be.
That's kind of a bold move to come into a place like that without knowing anybody. And then to say like, my first thing is going to be a joke basically at your expense. Or I shouldn't say that. It's not at your expense. It was a joke that everyone could have been in on. And then it also is funny if you don't get it. It's like, he's messing with you.
I think I was like, what are you talking about? And they ended up leaving the server, but it was still kind of like if that person's listening, like, I guess I've messed it up. I don't know. Sorry. But it's because like, I didn't want to be a jerk and I didn't want to like turn around and be like, what are you serious? You fucking loser.
Well, that's exactly what I would think, the same thing, especially if it's a new person that I'm not familiar with.
A new person
yet,
in the server.
It's like, there's no way I will assume that you're pulling my chain in that moment because I don't have any idea.
Exactly.
There's a ton of Discord servers that I'm in that are because of some game or some tech company or something, and it's like basically their tech support line now. Because Discord's a pretty good way of doing that. I'm just in a ton of conversations I see are about that, and it just reinforces that if somebody asked a question that seems silly to an expert, and in the, you know what I mean? How would I know that they're not joking? Because I see that stuff, and it's legit. And the answer, you might be misunderstanding. Here's the real thing. And they go, that's it. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
But sincerely like, oh, shoot, you're right. Now I get it. I was using the wrong word. That's why I couldn't Google this. You guys are awesome. Thanks for the help. Like, that's happened too. And then I'm sure, there's horsing around going on too. This is wild.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a good, we've had a couple of good deep conversations the last few episodes. I like it.
Yeah, like it's too bad everybody's about asleep gear, by the time we get to this part.
Yeah. It's not all about gear, but do you want to talk about gear?
let's talk about one more and one more thing. Play a quick sound. Bizarre.
Is that the Seafoam?
It is. Is it? Was that like the only fast tremolo we ever used? Because you always know the
Seafoam. It's a chorus. And I
update. It's a tremolo.
I think.
Because that's a tremolo.
No, it's a
chorus. No way. You dingus.
Play it again.
Play it. All right.
Seafoam. That's chorusy. And then the depth changes.
Okay. So you like a knob got turned at the end or something?
Yeah. Or there's a switch or something. I think it's a Keeley pedal. Yeah. Seafoam Plus. 189 over at Sweetwater. Well, it's a tri-mode chorus.
This just in. Justin doesn't know one guitar effect from the other.
The fucking idiot.
What a dingus.
Get out of here. What a dumb question to ask, Justin.
What
Jesus
a fucking
Christ.
Moron. Oh, I was pulling your leg. You really shouldn't have been mean to me.
I get it. It's actually an overdrive. See ya.
Bye. It's just a really weird overdrive. Anyway. Okay, so there's a new... what is this, Derek, about a new intern at Gibson?
Yeah, new intern.
It's a new intern.
I don't know enough about businesses about like how business works to know like really what's going on behind the scenes and the differences between a president and a CEO. And if so, anyway, JC, your boy JC, James Curley at Gibson is leaving the company completely.
I love president that his name and CEO. Is Curley, He's but it's spelled bananas. It's spelled like just. Wow.
I had a really good friend in high school named James Curley, and it was spelled like traditionally L-E-Y. And we just called him Curley. Like, that was just who he was, you know. And I saw that James Curley was the CEO of Gibson, and I'm like, excuse me?
My old buddy?
Yeah.
Oh, I should have kept in touch with him. I would have read that Curley.
Maybe it is. I don't know. I've heard people call it. The Curley era of Gibson.
Well, then it's probably just pretty
stupid thing
then,
to say.
Huh?
But anyway, yeah. So he's leaving the company entirely. He came, if I recall, I think he came over from Levi's and like almost 5 years ago or so. Because I remember talking about it on the show. And that's when Gibson turned into the lifestyle brand.
All their guitars turned into denim. And all their cases had denim on them instead of Tolex. And
yeah, you could get them pre-ripped.
Spot clean only, by the way. Everybody knows that about Levi's. Yeah. They'll last forever.
you wear them in the tub. That's how you do it. Anyway. You haven't heard that?
Well, I've heard it. Oh, have
I? Like shrink to fit? Yeah.
Yep. By the way, anyway, the reason I said that there's a new intern at Gibson is because Derek wrote in the notes that there's a new interim Gibson CEO, and I thought a dyslexia joke would be funny, but then we didn't explain it. And so this is just a whole podcast full of unexplained jokes, except I explained it.
Welcome to the Tone Control.
Damn it.
Oh, shit. We need another one that you can, to like make up for it.
Okay.
So anyway, he's now the president. Oh, sorry. He, Cesar, who has worked at Gibson for a long time, he was previously the brand president, is now the, quote, president and interim CEO. And now I don't know if that means both of those things are interim. Grammatically, it would suggest no.
Depends where the comma
or if it
is.
Means like he's the president and then a new CEO is going to come in and he will remain president. I don't know. So I don't know the difference, like what each is up to and all that shit. So if you kind of been following Gibson a little bit, Cesar has, I don't know. He's kind of come out of the woodwork as like a Gibson leadership person, as like a personality, like a media personality now. Big Instagram following, that kind of stuff. He's appeared in their YouTube videos. It was. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And so he's been like kind of the face of Gibson that's not Mark Agnesi for a while, a little while. Like he's known around. I see him interacting with people on. Yeah. I've seen him interact on socials and stuff like that. He's a very smart Gibson historian and stuff like that. And, you know, just like a business guy. So I have nothing else to say other than whenever Gibson gets a new CEO, I'm like, I stand in the back with my arms crossed, like, okay, let's see what you got.
What I'm feeling. Is this going to be like when somebody becomes president of the United States, though, and suddenly, like, anything good that happens is their fault, and anything bad that happens is their fault, even though, like, very little has anything to do with what they do or don't do.
I don't know. I mean,
obviously there's a few things that matter, but like the economy is one way and everybody says, whoa, this president, like they have they have such a little amount of force on that steering wheel.
I heard years ago, that the true impact of a president's, tenure is not reflected in the economy until like three terms later.
How slow all that is.
But anyway, that's it. I don't know. I find that kind of thing interesting. Gibson's the only brand that like makes a lot of waves when this kind of thing happens, when there's a new CEO. Like I couldn't tell you the CEO at Fender or Yamaha or like any of these companies.
Is that because they don't fucking blow it all the time?
Yeah, it is actually. That's exactly why. Yeah. But I'm just sort of curious. Like there's a page turning, a chapter closing, have a chance to not fuck it up. Right now is a great time to not fuck
it up. Right, yeah, I mean, you could get some just courtesy mind share back, right? Just by, okay, and now we're just sort of moving on. Yeah, we're opening a new door kind of thing. I doubt anything serious is going to happen. Like they're not going to suddenly stop making a bunch of guitars that cost $5,000 that should probably cost $3,000. Because why would they do that?
I don't think anything like that. But I think to Curly's credit, they streamlined the product lineup a lot under his leadership. And whether or not that was directly him or not, I have no idea. But it's like you're saying, it's maybe the president did that. I don't know.
Went down the factory. Yeah, this doesn't make sense. We got to change the name of this one. These two products, this doesn't matter. Combine them. Make them two color options.
Pretty much. So
I could be a CEO of a guitar company. Listen to me go.
I believed you straight through.
Very good at this.
No, the not tone that control knob, guitars. That knob. Yeah, knob. Yeah, when I said that knob, I meant that knob.
The longer I stay in this character, the more he becomes like an Italian gangster.
Mm.
I've made that change in the voice, but in my head, if I keep talking, I'll tell you right now what's going to happen to it. And that's going to be...
Maybe we should just, you know, back out.
Maybe we should
thing.
Not do it. Maybe
just
we
for, should or for our own safety.
Turn left.
Yeah.
Turn left.
So that's right. It. Yeah. That's my thing. Just generally interested to see what happens next. I'm also really curious about interim CEOs and stuff like that. And it's like, are you just going to become the CEO? Can we just skip to that part? Or like, do you not want it? What's going on there?
Well, I mean, truthfully, they probably have some stuff they have to go through, right? So there's probably some due diligence that...
There's a board of directors and all that.
Yeah, exactly. Shit. So they're probably like entertaining the idea that they could bring someone in from the outside, but probably if this guy's smart, they're going to be like, well...
It's going to be Wrangler jeans coming in from the outside.
I thought this was going to be a person, right? It's going to be somebody named Wrangler. No. Yeah, I got you.
No, because we got the Levi's CEO. We're going to move it on over to Wrangler.
Do we kick out Levi's at that point, or are they splitting? Are we bringing them all
into
the same
free facility? Corporate. Yeah, like when Sirius XM happened, right? This is Levi's Wrangler.
Okay.
Okay, we should get out of here.
Let's do it. Let's wrap it up. I think that was a pretty decent the tone control and
right until the end there. Yeah.
Right up until it just all took a dive right into the bathtub while wearing jeans, I guess.
Shrink to fit.
Shrink to fit. So what else can I say about this episode except that thanks to the patrons, it exists. Yep. turn that into a complete sentence. How do you like me now? Yeah. So anyway, thanks for listening. If
Why is this suddenly so awkward? What happened?
Because I never know what I'm doing and I never know what I'm going to say and I don't prepare and it's always bad. So,
All right.
Yeah. So, well, thanks.
As long as we know.
You know what? Thanks for listening to the Tone Control and please come and join us in Discord where you can be a part of these fun discussions. And it's totally free. And you just go to discord.io/tonecontrol. You can find it easily. And there's lots of fun in there. And if you want to support the show, you want to do that crap on Patreon. Patreon.com/thetonecontrol. Where for as little as, I haven't said the whole thing in a long time, for as little as $1 a month, you can help us make the show, which is to say, honestly, you can help us do the fun thing that we're eventually going to do come this fall. The show is going to turn 10 years old. And so there's a few irons in the fire about that. We're going to have some giveaways and some other fun stuff going on. So,
totally.
Yeah. So anyway, thanks to patrons who are helping create that. And, thanks for everybody for being a part of the community and stuff like that. So those patrons this week are Nick Greenwood, Carson Ricketts, Matthew Fenslaw, Ryzen Wolf, Jamie Evans, Doug King, Big Daddy Doug, Steve Huffman. What are we doing? A slash now? Slashachusetts.
Because I wanted to make sure this other name got mentioned because it was so good.
Okay. So Slashachusetts and 17 Boobless Minutes, which is my fault, by the way. I changed his name to that when he wasn't paying attention. Brian Gower of the Tone Jerks podcast. Mako Guitars, Andrew Welsh of Andrew's Alcove, Doug Christ of 37 Effects, and Sean Wright of Lollygagger Effects. Thanks to all those folks. And
thanks to all y'all.
Yeah, if you come into Discord and join and hang out with us, we will not change your name until you've been here long enough that you deserve it and we know you can handle it. Promise. Yeah.
Also, come into Discord and drop your music philosophy in the thread.
Yeah. All right. See you next time.
Yeah, dude. Bye.